Atticus Finch, Scout, Boo Radley. The names are so familiar as to be taken from history instead of one of the towering examples of American fiction, To Kill a Mockingbird. And earlier this month, news that Mockingbird author Harper Lee would be publishing another book left readers, editors, and publishers wondering if these characters would all return for one last time. Harper Lee is quite old and in failing health, reportedly blind and deaf. The new book, set to be published by HarperCollins later this year, is called Go Set a Watchman, and was actually written before To Kill a Mockingbird, and has been rejected by an editor before. Lee's attorney, Tanya Carter, declined our request for an interview. Starling Lawrence, former editor-in-chief at W.W. Norton and a friend of Harper Lee, joins us now with some misgivings about all this. Starling Lawrence, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. Glad to be here. How are you?
Great, great. What was your first thought when you heard that this book was coming out?
Well, I worried that somebody had gotten to know Harper Lee, had insinuated him or herself into her good graces, and suggested, well, why don't we write a book together? Before I knew anything about it, Nell, as I called her, Harper Lee, had been so insistent that she was happy with having written one book. She didn't want to talk to people who asked her. I mean, the shortest way to end a conversation with her was to talk about what else she might be writing, because she'd been asked that over and over again.
Were you aware of this other manuscript, Go Set a Watchman?
Absolutely not. And I don't think she was, I've got to say. I think it may have come as something of a surprise to her. I don't know that.
Although the report is that she wrote it before To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, yes. And that's, I mean, that part of the story, I think, gives it great credibility, the fact that this was the original manuscript, and that somebody said, some editor said, you know, let's push it in the direction of the younger Scout. Let's go to those flashbacks and construct the story that way.
The sense of this is, you know, it reminds me of Kafka, who wanted to burn all of his work and was only brought into publication because of some very, very Kafka-loving people who probably violated Franz Kafka's wishes in becoming a published author.
Yeah, well, I was not aware of that story, but authors' wishes about their books are complicated things. And may I say, publishers' wishes about authors' books are complicated things. I had something of a similar situation with the work of a wonderful historical novelist named Mary Lee Settle, and another wonderful historical novelist whom I published, Patrick O'Brien. And we chose not to publish. In one case, it was the last written work. In the other case, it was O'Brien's case. It was an early work, and it was a story being ginned up by his London publisher as a centenary event. And it just seemed to us that this was the wrong way for people to remember Patrick O'Brien. So we said, no, we won't.
How long did you have a relationship with Nell Harper Lee?
Well, I don't know exactly. I would have met her in the early 1990s, and I see that she had the stroke. I was reminded she had the stroke in 2007, and I saw her after the stroke, a very spirited person in the hospital, probably a lousy patient, but and then she moved back to Monroeville to an assisted living, a rehab center. And I spoke with her a few times and wrote her and sent her pears at Christmas. But it was very hard because she really – it was so difficult for her to communicate, certainly by telephone.
When she was able to communicate, when you did have a lively sort of conversational relationship, did she ever hint at another book, another manuscript?
Absolutely not. In fact, I mean she – and I can't remember whether I've – heard this or read it, but it was the same message. I wrote one good book. Why isn't that enough? I mean, she was so tired of explaining why there was no other book. If she had written another book, it might have been something quite different. I met her through a great friend of mine who is also an author, Earl Shorris, who lived directly across 82nd Street from Harper Lee. And he said that she might have been working on some. She's very well read. She, when her eyesight was good, she read classics of English literature, and she had some, according to him, some vague plan of writing about that, not fiction at all. But that's the only thing I ever heard of, and that was very tentative information.
But certainly people who are excited about the prospect of another Harper Lee book would be drawn to what she might think of what happened in the civil rights
absolutely.
Movement.
Absolutely. I'm just have my fingers crossed is all.
Sure, sure.
And yes, they have every right to be excited, just as the fans of Patrick O'Brien went out and wrote further adventures themselves because they couldn't, you know, they wanted
right.
so much to know what might have happened next.
But if this turns out to be not a hoax, but just something that was kicking around that doesn't have any particular relevance to the world today, in your conversation, was she really excited and interested in the way that America developed in terms of racial justice post the period that Mockingbird speaks of?
She was a very I'm not sure I can answer that question. She was a very feisty, opinionated person. Politically, she certainly was very opinionated.
Democrat? Republican?
Quite a Democrat, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And someone who probably would not be surprised that racial violence and the kinds of disturbances that we've noted over the last 2 years are still taking place.
I don't think it would surprise her in the least. And she would have known about these things and had opinions about them. Mm-hmm. So we'll just have to see about that book. I think if it's just terrible, people are going to feel bad. I think if it's wonderful, people are going to feel great. And I think it's going to be perfectly acceptable if it's okay. What is interesting to me in an article in the Times was to see and this was the only place I saw it, and the Times has subsequently removed that reference in what you can get online today, was the name of the editor who worked with Harper Lee. I can't tell from the name whether it's a man or a woman. It's sort of a all-purpose name. And I've worked in publishing for 45 years. I have never heard that name.
See, now you got me thinking about a mystery.
Well, I won't dispute it.
Starling Lawrence is former editor-in-chief at W.W. Norton, friend of Nell, Harper Lee. Nell,
right.
You called her. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.